Well, it's great to see you this morning. Great to be here and to fellowship and to worship. And don't you just, how many have appreciated the worship team this morning? It was good. You have a blessing. Thanks, guys and gals. Thank you for that. That was wonderful. And I could have kept on going with that. You know how sometimes you just feel that way. We could keep on worshiping the Lord. But what we make up today, we'll pick up tomorrow or next Sunday. And make sure you tell everybody that you can think of to come to the Easter service. People, there's no way of them knowing unless you tell them about it, but what's going to happen. So if you can do that, that'd be a blessing to us to know that you were doing, that you didn't forget. Say, oh, is that Nick? Now, just so phone somebody up this week and say, hey, we always have a great time at our Easter service. Why don't you be my guest? And I'm sure we can scrape some food together if they came. So I do think about that. Anyway, just a chance to do that. Well, at my sermon here today, I've called it Goodbye, World, Goodbye. That's the title. And I want to read from two passages, one in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, and the other in Acts chapter 2. This has to do, well, I'll wait, let me read it first. This is the word of the Lord. Mark 16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. What a strong verse that is. So strong. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and from all who are far off, anyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, and this is what he said, this is how he exhorted, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received, see it's linked, so those who received his word were baptized, knowing that that's how you saved yourself from the crooked generation. Those who received his word were baptized and were added that day about 3,000 souls. You don't have to know too much about the Bible to know that Satan, or the devil as he's called, is the personal enemy of Christ. He works through the flesh of mankind. That's his role. That's what he does. To produce this pattern of things on the earth, which we've all become involved in. The whole world has become involved in. The desires of the flesh and the desires of the pride, of being proud, and the self-centeredness. The scripture tells us that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The whole world. Everything we touch, commerce, finance, arts, the maths, anything, if it's in this world, we touch it and we are contaminated from it. That's just how it is. And it's a serious thing knowing that the devil runs this in his kingdom of darkness. And it's important to be saved and to be saved from the system. And I'll talk about this as we go along here. Salvation is not so much a question of sins forgiven or of hell avoided. It is to be seen in terms of a system from which we come out of, and the coming out of is very important. When I am saved and I yield myself to Jesus as my Savior and believe on him, I make my exodus out of one whole world and my entry into another world. I'm saved now out of that whole organized realm which Satan has constructed in defiance of the purposes of God. That is why we must be baptized. It's the only answer to break the hold off the demonic hold that Satan has on this world. It's not optional. Well, I might get baptized, or perhaps I should get baptized. It's God's plan for announcing to the kingdom of darkness that somebody's coming out. And it's lots hold on this, and I'll talk about this in the next few moments here. That realm that all-embracing cosmos. No, not the earth, not the globe. That's not what we're referring to. Not the planet, but the mind behind the system. The force that runs the world. We have to come out and be separate from that. And we come out through water. That's how we come out. This system, this world system controlled by Satan himself. And so the question is, if that is the world, then what is salvation? Salvation primarily means, although it has these other elements that I've just touched on, it means that I escape from that. I go out. I make an exit from that all-embracing cosmos that would seek to control me, that I would forever be self-centered and ever be in defiance of the Lord. And so as I come out, I know I belong no more to Satan's pattern of things. I set my heart upon which God's heart is set. And these people next week when they get baptized, they're saying, I want what's on God's heart for my life. And this is my sign of it. I take as my goal his eternal purpose in Christ. And I step into that and I am delivered from this. The Bible says that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Yes, from the system, from the world system. Mark 16. What Jesus said, he plainly means. We take that step of faith as I am believing that when I step out, I'm leaving my world behind and I'm entering another world. That is very crucial that I follow that and obey the Lord. Now, see, there's something about water baptism that's unique. It's the first step of obedience. It's the first thing. You may not be able to pay back that money. You may not be able to cover that debt, or you can, what you're going to do about that job, etc. You know, all these things. But I know one thing. I can be obedient in this first step. And that's often the very first thing that happens to a new Christian, is that he experiences the Lord and has a chance to be obedient. So, from his eternal purpose in Christ. And I step into that upon from this. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. What Jesus said, he really, really means. We take the step of faith and we believe. And we are baptized. And we come out a saved person. That is a saved man. That is salvation. And I made a note mostly to myself, but listen to this. Let us never regard water baptism as a small concern. Huge things hang on this. Believe, and what's immediate? Immediate, what is it? And be baptized. There's no pause, there's no gap. There's just right here. Be baptized. On the day of Pentecost, you can imagine, okay, we've had a pretty exciting day here. Why don't we all go home for a while now? Do a few things at home. We can get back tomorrow. We'll do some teaching on what it means to be saved. And everybody okay with that? And no. 3,000 people are saved, and 3,000 people go right into the water. Right into the water. Imagine that. They didn't bring along a little kit with them, right, so that they could have their extra clothes and everything. They wouldn't have a chance to do that. What shall we do? Save yourself from this crooked generation. Get, you know, have you believed? Now get baptized. Wow. Tremendous things hang upon this. Huge things. There's a testimony involved, at least a three-dimensional thing in my mind. One is, we testify to the fact that, first of all, that we belong to Christ. They're declaring that. If they're a bit shy, we'll say, is it your intention to follow Jesus Christ all the rest of your life? It is. Okay. That's a testimony, Christward. But it's more than that. It's bigger than that. We testify to our fellow believers that now I am one of you. I might have one day mocked you. I might one day, didn't really take this that serious. But today, I am a child of God, and it's my intention to serve him and be part of the body of Christ, and to live and to serve the body of Christ. Wow. There's another dimension of it. that happens when we're baptized. And then, thirdly, we testify to the devil. Oh, never forget that. There's lots of ears hearing. There's tremendous hearing going on. And we testify to the devil that we're leaving his world. And we're announcing it with fanfare. Goodbye, world, goodbye. No longer will you be ruling me as I yield myself dead to Christ and alive in him. The power of that, the tremendousness of it, this testimony. This is no less a question than of two violently opposing worlds. Just violently clashing the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And we are stepping out of the one and entering into the other. It's no small thing. What it is opposing worlds and of our translation from the one into the other. In God's sight, you may just think someone's standing in the water here, but the Lord will know. And that's why the testimony is one of the most important parts. Because we know the believers are going to be watching. The Lord will be watching to see if we are his, and the devil will be watching to see if he can thwart us and to hinder us, knowing that, they're heading for the watery grave of baptism. And I find that many, many times there's often discouragement the few days before the water baptism and a few days after water baptism. And even though the person was very, very keen about getting baptized, we get a phone call on Friday, and somebody said, I'm just phoning to cancel because I've just been so upset and my wife and I have been fighting and it's just hasn't worked out so well. I think maybe I better put it off. I said, whoa, when did you get like this? Did it happen a long time? No, just those last couple of days. It's been just hectic in our home. Been terrible in our home. All these problems. I said, about the time you decide to get baptized? Yeah, about that time. Exactly. And then there might not be that case, but someone else, they phone it on the Tuesday, the next week, after the baptism service is all over. And they say, I don't think it's working. I don't think I'm really a Christian. Or I never would have said what I said. I just can hardly believe it. What's the point? I might as well not even go to anything. No sense me going to church. I can't even last. Didn't last at all. I said, when did this happen again? Well, right after the baptism. Yes. As the enemy works overtime, feverishly, as the worlds clash together again. And can you imagine the scream of the demons when somebody says, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I confess him as my Lord and my Savior. It's my intention to follow him all the days of my life. And I, by God's grace, I will not turn back, and I will continue on by his mercy. Wow. Yeah, amen. Wow. Oh, okay. You imagine the devil hearing that. And then another one. Pretty soon, there are hundreds and around the world, of course, there are thousands and thousands of believers that have taken their stand, knowing that this is important. It's not just something tacked on. It's not kind of a casual thing or a part-time thing or, you know, sometime I'll get around to that. I don't know if I... It saves you from the world. No, only Christ's blood saves us from sin, but it saves you from the world and its pull and the strength of that. It's very powerful. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter picks up that thought. You've probably read this many times. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Saves you. So baptism saves us now. Peter believed in our salvation through baptism as firmly as he believed in Noah's salvation through water. And please remember when I'm speaking here today, remember that I'm not preaching the doctrine of baptism, regeneration. It's a doctrine where, you know, you have to get baptized in water to get saved. I'm referring to saved out of the world, not preaching deliverance from hell. I'm saying, and this is the essence of what I'm saying, if you can catch this, that water baptism is essentially a present exit It's how we go out. We go. Gary, who gave his heart to the Lord last summer, has just indicated just perpetual interest in the things of the Lord. And that's why we knew that he's probably ready. And he's making his exit next Sunday. And it's not, yeah, amen. It's not easy for him to get around, but that's what he wants to do. To make his exit out of the present world controlled by Satan into the kingdom of God. And to enter in the power of that. So I'm saying that water baptism is essentially a present exit from a doomed order. You see, this world is doomed to destruction. You must know that because as you read the scripture, even the loosest scripture, you find it everywhere where the world is, it's under God's judgment. And so we're aware of that it's doomed. Why would I set up all my ambitions for the future? Why would I do that knowing that it's going under in judgment? And Christ is coming in any moment, any hour. The trumpet could sound and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord God Almighty, he comes. We say there's the shout of the victor. He's coming to defeat the enemies. And meanwhile, the devil is working feverishly to thwart the work of the Lord. We are involved together here in the work of the Lord. That's what we're about, to get as many people into the ark as we can get them. Isn't it? We want them to get into the ark, the only safe place. And as the Lord places us in Christ, the symbolism is wonderful beyond belief. So we say, praise God, they came out. And Peter tells us about it. How did they come out? They came out through the waters. And so tomorrow or Sunday, a week from now, when believers are baptized, they go symbolically through water, just as Noah passed in the ark through the waters of the flood. And he makes a parallel to that. And so when anyone gets baptized, that's why you can't just do it because your friend is going to do it. It's got to be you saying, I am making my exit out of this doomed world to serve the true and living God, to love him and serve him. And so in Christ, and so when you come up, our system goes down. A whole system goes down with you. Not just you, but everything that you're associated with goes down into this watery grave. And when you come up, see, we go down and we come up. It's not wasted. It's the reality. We come up, and in Christ, your whole world, every part of your world stays behind. Now it doesn't mean I don't use the finances, and we get education, all of these things. They're a part of because we're here. But it's not our home, right? It's not our home, and it's just a really powerful way out. We live here, but our hearts are not here. Our hearts are with Christ to serve him. There's a scripture I love in Romans. It says, if you have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Wow, so good. And for each of us, that world is submerged, drowned like Noah's. Just like Noah's. It is by baptism that we declare this. And this is what we declare. Lord Jesus, I leave my world behind. That self-centered, live-for-yourself world, I'm leaving that. I am dying to Owen, to be buried. We couldn't do anything about him, so we'll bury him. And we are buried. How remarkable, how wonderful. I leave my world behind. The cross separates me forever. For it is a passage into another world. another world we're entering into. We go out. That's why Stephen says, are you a Christian? And, yes, yes. But the big question is, are you a baptized Christian? Because everybody knows, and in other countries, you know, if you've come from another country other than Canada, that it's okay to go to the Bible studies. Nobody minds you going to the Bible studies or the prayer meeting or the witnessing of the outreach, but the minute you get baptized, there is a price to pay. Because now they know. And how many know I'm speaking the truth? Isn't it? Just you. Once you take that step, you're ostracized. You're picked on. You're a ridicule. Melissa was telling me this morning that when her dad would have got baptized in India, back when he did as a young man, he had to walk through the town in India. Had to walk through the town. That's why? To get to the well. Because there was no rivers, there was just a well. And so he's walking, you know, you got your towel, and you're going to get baptized, and everybody in the village sees you going, where are you going? I'm going to get baptized. Oh, boy, you want to see the devil stir up about that. And he said, it costs to do this. I said, yeah, I'm sure it would. I'm sure it would. Well, Lord, I leave my world behind. I go out of the world that is under judgment into a world that is marked by newness of life. Now, it's not that now it's terrible life. It's the best of life because it's kingdom life. Passing through the world, you proclaim to the whole universe that you have left your world behind and you've entered into something absolutely, utterly new. This new life in Jesus that we live. Living for him, enjoying his praise, enjoying his worship, enjoying it. You know, we can hardly believe it. If somebody came by and said, what are you guys making a racket in there this morning? What are you doing? Well, we're just singing, praising the Lord. Do you have to do that? No, we don't have to do it, but we do it. Huh. Who knows? So it seems like kind of a crazy thing for me. How often do you do this? Well, as often as we can. And what do you have? Well, we have Bible studies. Yeah, we're going to have Bible study. We're going to have fellowship time. We're going to go on a hike together and do some stuff together. And yeah, what is this? It's our new life in Christ. And these are my brothers and my sisters. And we belong together. And we love being together. We love doing stuff together. We love reaching out. We love reaching out to other people. Would you like to join us? That doesn't sound like very much. See, to where somebody walking by, what a bunch of crazy people are these. It just doesn't make sense to many people. But it's just the new life that we have. What may seem like the end of the world to them is the beginning of a new world for us. And how happy we are when one more comes and one more comes and one more comes and one more comes. We say, boy, there's about five people have come to know the Lord this last while. Whoa! What do we say? We're just high. We're just pumped. We say, oh, man. The Spirit of God's doing stuff, and I'm a part of it. We prayed for a person to get delivered. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. And so this is how we describe, because this is how it is. Life in Christ. As we come out, because now I am not just a saved Christian, I am a baptized Christian, is what God's plan was. And God would have that plan. So this is, you know, I think in the first service I was using an analogy. When you get married, I think my wife's not, she's not here. It's the first second, she was here before. But when we got married, it's kind of funny how simple something can be and just so much has to do with it. When you get married, if you aren't married, I'll tell you this little story here, how it works. You stand at the front looking like an adult because you're so uncomfortable in your cheap suit that you got. And they say, Valerie, do you take this man to be your lawful? Yes. Okay. And you, sir, do you take this woman? I do. I'm just sweating, right? I do. We now declare you husband and wife. What? That's it? There's got to be more to it than that, isn't there? Not basically. But what a power. All I said was, I do. And now I'm where I was single, now I'm married. It's unbelievable that would happen. But from that point on, what do we refer to about? Your married life. Right? We don't talk about your single life, we talk about your married life. Since you've been a married man and a married woman, so now you're a married man. It's the same as believers. Funny, a simple thing. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you and rose again? I do. Boom, down you go. And you come up just like that. And I think maybe twice, I wish it would happen more often, twice I've seen it where somebody came out of the water. I mean, they came out of the water. And they spoke in tongues. They were touched by God. They were just boom and yelling in tongues. And we all knew that the Spirit of God had come into this water. You just want that to happen to everybody. But we just stood and said, wow, that's amazing. All they did was say, I love you, Lord, and I want to serve you. And somehow God wanted that to be a testimony that person would never forget. And by the way, when you say to somebody, I don't know if I was baptized or not. Oh, you'll know. Yeah, you'll know whether you're baptized or not. It's not the kind of a thing you forget. Where else would you ever be made to put your arms like this? What does this remind you of, by the way? Oh, a grave. Yes, exactly. That's what this is. And, of course, here's your hands. And so they're going past the casket, right? And as you are laying there, they put their hands on top of you. And then they say, upon confession of your faith, we do baptize you, and down you go. You know, if the two people baptizing you wanted to, you would never get out again. You wouldn't. There's the trust that I'm entrusting myself to two other believers who are going to go and fold their arms. Sometimes they hold their nose. We don't care about that, because especially if they're allergic to water up their nose. But they go down, and they say, oh, man. And I find one interesting thing about water baptism is that when I might be in there just freezing in there or looking at my watch wondering how long this is going to take, they don't even know it was cold. They were so excited about getting baptized that when they came out of the... How many know this is true for you? You can hardly remember. It didn't seem like you were getting cold at all. It just how psyched up that they were. There's nothing... A water baptism shows that we're on the right track, that we're doing something that the Lord would want us to do. And it's a joy to be involved in a baptism service. It just is. It's just a great, great service. Matter, I remember when in Israel, I was saying that in the first service, that I helped in the Jordan. You know, there you're standing in the Jordan River. A few other notables have done the same. And we were standing there, we had these gowns on, and all of a sudden I go, what is that? There's something following me or something. And it's some small fish, and they're biting my toes. And so I'm doing this little jig, you know, right? There's some kind of a dance or something. But you know, it's all the same whether it's in a Presbyterian church or in another kind of a church, or a Pentecostal church, or a Baptist church, the ingredients are basically the same. It's not anything far-fetched. It's just that if we went over to that city, and there was a baptism service, there would be believers just like you who are witnessing this great, marvelous thing that's taking place. It takes a lot of fortitude to come up here and to go walk into the tank. I admire anyone who does this, because it's not the first thing. Oh, yes, I'd like to humiliate myself, get all soaked and make people talk about me. I'd like that. No, you wouldn't. And so it's not easy. It's hard on the pride. But see, part of Owen is dying. And so it must go under. All goes under till finally there's just you and Jesus. As you have said, no, not perfectly, but Lord, I give myself to you to serve you all the days of my life. I love you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. You will never be sorry that you decided to get baptized. That's my conclusion on it. You just won't be. It's something, it's just utter, it's a new world you come into. And I remember our former associate, Glenn Ryland, he said that all of his Christian life up to a teenager, or maybe even beyond, a young adult, he said that he always had a little bit of doubt, Am I saved? I think I'm saved. I'm pretty sure I'm saved. Oh, I don't always feel saved, but yeah, I think I'm saved. And he said he had this back and forth thing, am I saved, am I not saved? He said, till I got baptized. And after that, he said, bang, I never had another doubt ever. Ever. Did he ever have a doubt again? Ever since that moment. That's the influence it can have. So this is salvation. You take a public stand, because the question has been asked to me many times, could I get baptized privately? Like privately where? Like privately in my bathtub. Oh, I had lots of requests, I guess. I said, why? I'm a kind of a private person. And I said, I don't really want to be in your bathroom. It's not my, with you or with anybody else. Don't think that's going to work too well. So why don't we just go over to the church? And but you know, and of course, there's nothing wrong with a swimming tank, right? That's a bit different. But over the years, somebody says, what is the best way to get baptized? I don't know. I know that I was baptized in a horse trough. And that's what it was. It's a trough for horses. And it's metal. And it's filled up and there's no heat, very little heat, if any. And you there, it is the ugliest thing in the whole world. It really is ugly. But no more ugly than the tank we had before that down in the basement. It was a beauty. Ask anyone who was baptized in that from this church. He said, oh man, I missed those days. That was a real baptism tank with lots of things happening in that. Wonderful days. So this is salvation. You take a public stand where God has placed you in Christ. And so I ask the question, how do I separate myself from this crooked generation? And the answer is by baptism. For some strange, unique way, God said, this is my plan. You will yield your heart, you will believe, then you'll yield your heart, and you will be baptized. And how do we know that happens? Well, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. It just goes on. These are illustrations, and they were baptized, and they were baptized, and they were baptized, and they were baptized, and they were baptized. This is, you wouldn't be unique down through the century, all of the believers. So I'm just trying to make a point here. All of the believers that were believers were baptized believers. And so, why? So we can come out of the dark world. So we can come out of the system, the mind behind the system. That's the only way. We die to self because he's all about self. And we die to self in order that we might serve the Lord in newness of life. It's pretty exciting. I don't know whether baptism church services are better here, Simon or Marcel, I don't know if that's true or not, or whether they're better down at Ambleside. Both, we've had some terrific services. I remember one, there must have been 40 people there we got rebaptized. And it was just a great, great, great moment of all these people. And I remember another time Marcel was leading in the baptism part, and this sea lion thing. Oh, sea lion, what are they called? Harbor seals. This harbor seal was coming in to get fish, and Marcel had his back. and we were all praying that the seal would rub against him. So there would be someone else. Jesus walked on the water, Peter walked on the water, and Marcel walked on the water. Because it would have had that effect. Here, please let it come closer. So much fun. We've had great services in here, and the sound is better in here. You can hear the testimonies. There, when they go out to baptize, it's pretty kind of hard to hear what's going on. But either way, whether we're inside or outside, it's always a glorious day. And, I've said enough. You got the point of it. We come out. We make our exit. My fear is that you haven't made your exit. Really pray about it. We won't put any pressure on you. That's a promise. We won't put any pressure on you. But really pray about it. Have I made my exit out of the doomed order, this finished thing? It's done. And God's going to destroy it. We have to come out from away from it. And so if you haven't done that, you need to. And if we can encourage you in any way, that would be a great, great honor. Please stand with me. I just feel there's probably a couple of things. One is we're just going to pray about those getting baptized. Then I wonder if maybe somebody's here that needs a touch from the Lord. I was thinking that in this whole service. You might be new here. You might be a visitor here. We will welcome you. But if you are here and you're new and you need a touch from the Lord, it's simple as that. You need to say yes to the divine yes and just to receive, Lord, touch me. It might be a physical thing, right? It might be you need a touch physically, or it might be emotional, or it could be financial, could be marital. I mean, there's just, you know, how many needs are there? Lots of needs. But it seems to me that if you're new here, especially, if you would be brave enough to come forward, it always takes that first step, right? To go, why would I go? It's like water baptism. It's kind of scary. But if you would like to come forward, we'll get a few of us here. We'd love to pray over just that you would receive a touch from the Lord, because he is here to minister to you. He's here. And when we invite Jorge, it's so good to see you. I missed you. When he loves to touch people. That's the one thing. You know, we think, he touched me and all the joy that filled my soul. There's something about Jesus, our Lord, that when we say, do you think he will touch whoever's here, whoever has a need? But I'm thinking especially of somebody that's new. If you come, we won't follow you home. We won't say, oh, these creepy people. Just trying to get an address and email number. No, we won't be doing that. But we're just glad to pray for you. That you've come, maybe it's just really serious, and maybe you just feel defeated. Well, Jesus has come to deal with the defeated and to touch people. And I hate to think that we had church one more time. I was having church. We need the divine touch of Jesus. That's how we will end this. Not on me shaking your hand. I don't mind shaking your hand, but it won't. It's let's ask the Lord for a touch. That we've come to the living God. We've come into his house. We've called on his name. We've honored him and blessed him. And so why don't we just, if you need a touch, that you could come forward. But especially I'm feeling it for if you don't say you haven't been here before, or if you were here, it was just a long time ago. Come and stand up here. And we'll pray for you. We won't linger. We're not going to counsel. But just to be able to say, Lord, this individual has come and they're hurting and they need your touch. Well, this is the place. This is the place for the touch of God. The divine touch. That's what I call it, the divine touch. So I say my yes to God's yes. But what's he in favor? He's in favor of touching you today. So let's do that. Rex, maybe you wouldn't mind coming. And just gently. By the way, just as a conclusion, this new life we're talking about, as you come out of the old, come into the new, it's the best. So good. So great. Thank you, Lord. If you're here, Lord, just make your way. Breathe your life upon us. Oh, I sense him. Hallelujah. 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 Do you sense him? Come near, Lord. We invite you. Lord, fill this altar with your presence. stretch forth your hand to that person who's hurting, that person who's in pain, that person that is lonely. I think in our preparation time for the with the musicians, we felt that there's, somebody said, if you can't mention a word about hope, yeah, that's a good word. And so you would come and you would be filled with a sense of hope. What a Savior. If you'd like to come, just come. You're not coming to me and you're not coming to this altar here. You're coming to the living God, our Lord Jesus, who is not dead, he is alive. Hallelujah. He is alive. Praise God. Maybe there's nobody here with a real need. If it could be. It could be you're happy and contented and all, everything's working out well. But if you're here and you need a touch, just come. Are we talking about the Rob for him? Yeah, you need, come up, come. Did I ever think I'd be praying for Rob Ford? How wonderful. You lead us. You grew up with him?
Yeah, my dad and his dad were best friends, and I know the Ford family well, and when we went to visit, we went into his offices there, and you know, he got into politics because of his dad. His dad had a heart for the people and all the waste that was going on, and Rob Ford has that fire, and Rob has a good heart, and he's a humble person. He's got pulled aside, but so have we.
Yeah.
Everything that he's done, we've done differently.
Yeah.
You know, but God loves him. And what a testimony for him to be saved and come to repentance and to be able to glorify our God. He knows a lot of people. He has great people that love him.
Yeah.
And he stands up. He answers every phone call that people call into him. You know, his whole walls are plastered with all the negative stuff about him. People don't like him because of, you know, really, like, you know, just...
Yeah, no, you're all, it's all true what he's saying.
Yeah. Thank you.
But he's
just,
in great need.
Yes.
That's what you're saying,
just
right?
Lift him up and have mercy on him.
Lead us. Let's say amen with our brother.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for Rob Ford. I thank you for the Ford family,
yes.
Lord. You've raised them up there to be a call for the people who are broken, Lord, and taken advantage of, Lord. And so, Lord, he's gone aside. But, Lord, you know everything about him, Lord. And we just ask for mercy on his life, Lord God. Be able to heal him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord God, and come against this cancer that's in him, Lord God. May you be glorified and heal him, holy Lord, that he come to repentance and other people, thousands would be drawn to you, Lord God, because of how he's changed, Lord God. So raise him up to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, do something in his life, even today. Even today.